Hi, this is David Flowers, Senior Pastor at Grantham Church, an intergenerational, convergent, third-way congregation with the Brethren in Christ U.S. and located in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. I want to thank you for listening to our podcast and for following the sermons that I and many others preach at Grantham. This is a free podcast, and it'll always be that way, but if you'd like to give and help further the work we're doing for the kingdom, we'd greatly appreciate it. If you want to do that, you can do that by going to granthamchurch.org and clicking on the Giving tab. Whether you're a member of our church or you're listening as a podritioner, it's our greatest desire that you would encounter Jesus and be changed by the good news wherever you are. Anyway, God bless you, and I hope you enjoy the podcast. We have two messages left in our Sermon on the Mount series, a 17-week series, which began last fall. In Matthew chapter 5 through 7, Jesus proclaims the good news of the kingdom and casts this vision of what it looks like to live in right relationship with God, our neighbors, and our enemies. And he essentially says that if you want to be my disciple, you have to take seriously the words that are coming out of my mouth. And we're going to hear that from Jesus this morning. We've learned in this series that the Sermon on the Mount contains the core of Jesus' teachings, his most well-known sayings, including some of the most rigorous ethical demands in the Bible. And so if we call ourselves Christians, and you're still trying to decide what you think about Jesus and the Christian faith, please understand that Jesus intends his followers to put his words into practice as individuals and as a faith community, bearing witness to who he is and to the gospel of God's coming kingdom. My friends, Jesus shows us the good life and what it looks like to seek the kingdom and to keep to the road which leads to life. And despite what we may see from other evangelical Christians today, and the way in which they seem to be following Jesus, this is the litmus test. The Sermon on the Mount is the litmus test and the standard by which we can discern who is serious about following Jesus and who's just using Jesus as an add-on to support their brand of American civic religion. For these folks, the real Jesus has been replaced by an idol, and it's usually the nation state. And when this idol replaces Jesus, we then use Jesus as a cheerleader, you see, to promote our desired socioeconomic and political culture in this worldly kingdom in which we live. And folks on the right and the left can both do this, church. This is not true Christian faith. Can I get an amen? Are you with me? Jesus is going to warn us today about following those who think it is, and who want to lead us off of the narrow path. We're now entering the final section of the Sermon on the Mount, as you can see from this graphic we've been using from the Bible Project, where Jesus wraps up his sermon by presenting us with a choice about whether we're going to follow his teachings, seek the kingdom, and work for a greater righteousness of how to love God and how to love our neighbor, or not. Well, we're not going to do that. And so Jesus uses several examples and metaphors beginning in the passage we're looking at today. He starts with two roads. That's where we began our series. Remember that? The broad road and the narrow road. Two roads, two trees, as we'll see next week, two houses. The Lord invites us to choose how we will respond. If you're taking notes, I've entitled today's message, Wolves in Sheep's Clothing. This morning we're going to hear Jesus warn his followers to watch out for false prophets and leaders who appear harmless but lead people off a narrow road that leads to life. And we're also going to hear how we can tell the difference in good and bad leaders and influencers as we're reminded of the importance of doing real work, the real work of character formation, so that we're not just busy doing religious stuff for God and end up forfeiting our kingdom inheritance in the process. Once again, would you, I especially think we need it this morning, pray with me before we begin. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. We give this time of hearing the word to you. We ask that you speak words of comfort, but also of conviction, of challenge, but also of assurance. God, free us from our bondage. Remove the scales from our eyes. We pray against our real enemy who seeks to steal, kill, and destroy, and blind the minds of unbelievers. Jesus, illuminate our hearts and minds with your light. Holy Spirit, help us to receive the words of God and empower us, Lord, to live according to the teachings of Jesus. For it's in his name that we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Would you open your Bibles with me to our main scripture reading this morning, Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. We're mainly going to be looking at verse 15 through 23, but I want to start with verse 13. Remember, this is where we began this sermon series. Because I want you to see, when Jesus starts with the roads, that this is introducing this final section. And would you stand with me, not only because it's cold in here, but also to honor the scriptures as we read. Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Several years ago, wildlife officials in Yellowstone noticed something strange. A group of sheep ranchers kept reporting losses, but no one could find the predator responsible. There were no clear tracks, no obvious signs of attack. And eventually, they discovered that a wolf had learned to stay close to the herd, move quietly among the sheep, and strike when no one was watching. And from a distance, everything looked peaceful, of course, until the damage was done. Church, Jesus says spiritual danger often works the same way. It rarely announces itself. It blends in, it sounds familiar, it looks harmless, until it begins pulling people away from the life that God intends. And that's what Jesus warns us about in today's scripture focus, and what he wants us to be on guard against in the church. These are the words of Jesus. And I want to do my best to interpret those words and to help us apply those words today. So let's go verse by verse and unpack what we just read. As I said, notice that Jesus begins the choice with two roads. And now he's going to tell us that people will come and, like wolves in sheep's clothing, attempt to lead you off the narrow path in which he has outlined in this sermon. Their appetite is their flesh, and their goal is to use you for their purposes, ultimately devouring your faith. Look at verse 15. Watch out for false prophets. Watch out, the Greek says, beware or pay attention. Jesus says, for false prophets, original language there, it actually is pseudo-prophetes. Pseudo-prophets. People who claim to be authority figures, who in this case represent or claim to speak for God. False prophets, you see, are a problem all throughout the Bible. For example, and I have this reference in your bulletin with the sermon info this morning, Ezekiel chapter 13, verses 1 through 16. They speak, the prophet says, out of their own imagination and from their own spirit, not God's. They tell lies. False prophets tell people what they want to hear. They cover the cracks in the wall with paint. That's what Ezekiel says. They do not speak the truth about God or what God wants, and they do all of this while convincing people that they can be trusted to lead you down a good path. And we need to be reminded this morning that most of the prophets in the Old Testament are fringe prophets. They are not the court-appointed, state-sponsored prophets. In fact, most people didn't even listen to them. And some of them died because of their message. That's why Jesus says this about false prophets in the rest of verse 15. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. So get this image that Jesus is evoking. Let's see that. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. It's a comical but also frightening image, isn't it? Think about it. A wolf in sheep's clothing. For what purpose? Well, to convince you that they are one of you, that they can be trusted, that they speak for you and will protect you. But as soon as you start to doubt and question, saying something like, "Grandma, what big ears you have. What's with those ears? Grandma, what big eyes you have. What's with those eyes? And Grandma, what big teeth you have. What is with those teeth?" Well, get ready, because you're about to be Grandma's lunch. And you're thinking, oh my, that's an unpleasant thing to think about. By the way, I was referring to Little Red Riding Hood, if you pick up on that. How we know who this false prophet is, this wolf in sheep's clothing? Can we know? Well, listen to what Jesus goes on to say in verse 16. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Right? You don't pick grapes from thorn bushes. You don't pick figs from thistles. It doesn't work that way. And so, again, with fruit, what we're talking about is outward signs, words, deeds, behavior, revealing who they really are underneath. Isn't it interesting that not long ago Jesus said, don't judge people? Right? That is ultimately, we are not the ones to pass judgment on folks. That's ultimately God's job. But what Jesus is calling us to do here is to use another kind of judgment. We might call it discernment. We are very much told in multiple places and from Jesus himself to use discernment. You're not, you know, passing someone off, saying, well, they're a goner, can't be redeemed, they're going to hell. Or dehumanize them and so I don't have to love them. No, that's what Jesus was speaking against. But what he's speaking for here is to use wisdom and discernment. What does he mean by the two trees imagery? Let's think about this. There are actually a couple ways to hear and understand what Jesus is communicating. Let's look at that. Two things: a focus on discernment and community protection, and then a focus on inner information and character. With the first one, a focus on discernment and community protection, the question is, how do disciples recognize trustworthy leaders? And so in this example, the trees are the teachers, the leaders, and the prophets, of course. The fruit is their long-term character and conduct. And the issue is about protecting the community from deception. You think about, have you ever actually seen a shepherd, like shepherding? I mean, the first time I saw that, we were in Italy many years ago, driving on a tour bus across the Italian countryside, and I looked off in the distance, I saw a herd of sheep, and I looked close, and I saw a shepherd kind of crouched down, hiding over in the bush, watching the sheep. From what? Danger. But it's also a focus on inner formation and character. The question here is, what kind of life is being formed in this person? Trees representing inner life, their desires, their habits, their loves. The fruit is what naturally grows from that life, and the soil is the influences, the community, and the practices. And I think this applies to pastors. It applies to politicians and CEOs and podcasters and YouTube influencers. You name it. So let's dig down even deeper now and ask, what does bad fruit and a false prophet or leader or influencer look like, and what are the signs of rotten leadership and character? Well, it looks like some of this. First one being distorted allegiance. You see, they subtly shift loyalty and allegiance away from Jesus and the gospel towards something else. By the way, those something else are called idols. Idols. And a lot of good things can become idols, as well as the bad. And this something else might be power, money, political identity, personal brand, ideology, control, or even spiritual status. They may use Jesus' language, but Jesus is not the center of what they're doing. What else? It looks like a history of bad character. That is, over time, bad trees tend to produce pride, defensiveness, harshness, entitlement. I've seen this with pastors, folks. Sense of entitlement. Pride instead of humility, defensiveness instead of teachability, harshness instead of gentleness, manipulation instead of honesty, entitlement instead of service. You see, they resist correction. They protect their image. They blame others. And of course, this contradicts the way of Jesus. Also, we have a trail of relational damage. Look behind them. What do they leave behind? What are they producing? They leave behind wounded followers, broken families, fearful communities, a culture of silence, loyalty tests, an us versus them sort of thinking. You know, even if crowds grow under their leadership and influence, love shrinks. You see, Jesus' way always produces healing, reconciliation, maturity, even through hardship, right? Because true prophets and healthy leaders will genuinely care about people. They may have to say hard things, but they will care about people. Also, we have disordered loves. See, because sin starts with these misdirected desires, don't they? These people love success more than faithfulness, influence more than integrity, comfort more than obedience, being right more than being loving. You see, and these disordered loves eventually shape their ideas, their teaching, their leadership. And the fact of the matter is, you can't keep loving the wrong things and still produce kingdom fruit. Doesn't that apply to us all? You can't. You see, using spiritual language even to justify sin, we see this. They spiritualize unhealthy behavior, use the Bible to protect themselves. We've seen a whole slew of examples of this in the last 5 years or more. For example, they may say something like, well, God told me to avoid accountability, or don't touch the Lord's anointed to silence the questions. You lack faith to blame victims. Or they may say, this is just bold leadership, or oh, I was just being honest, to excuse cruelty. Again, this isn't something just leaders can do. We see people who claim the name of Christ doing this. They use Scripture to protect themselves, not to serve others. So instead of only asking, is the prophet, politician, pastor, teacher, influencer ever wrong? Well, we're all going to be wrong from time to time. We're all human. We're going to mess up. But you should instead ask this, what kind of disciples are being produced? What kind of followers? What kind of disciples? What sort of community are they forming? Because the truth is that good trees produce people who are becoming, watch this, more loving, more honest, more patient, more generous, more faithful, and of course, more Christ-like. But bad trees, folks, bad trees produce people who are becoming anxious, angry, tribal, obsessed with their enemies, those who oppose us, cynical, and self-righteous. So what kind of tree is it? Well, just look at the fruit of the followers. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. Jesus said that. But to be clear, Jesus is not calling us to be suspicious critics. We don't need any more of that. We don't need more cynic saints. Instead, we need wise disciples who are coming to know the genuine article so that we can spot the counterfeit. And folks, Jesus is the genuine article. And we see this Jesus come through in the Sermon on the Mount. His life, his death, his resurrection, his first followers. Meditate on that. Walk with this Jesus. The more you get to know him, the more you will spot the fakes. We need wise disciples who can discern these things together in community. And this is what discernment requires, right? You taking notes on any of this? I think this is good stuff. Take a picture if you want. Time. What do we mean? Fruit takes seasons to grow, doesn't it? I mean, every one of us in here, if you're halfway serious about following Jesus, we know, like, you know, it takes some time. We're all going to stumble. We're all going to fall and make mistakes, and we should be a people of grace. So don't judge quickly. Don't try to discern even too quickly. A bad tree is not someone who struggles. It's someone whose life and influence consistently form people away from the character and the way of Jesus. So look at the history. False prophets are revealed less by what they say and more by what their lives and communities produce over time. Two, community. Don't discern alone. Healthy communities see more clearly. This is why we shouldn't, listen to me, gravitate toward our cliques and echo chambers, so that all we're hearing are the voices that say, yeah, we're with you. We need to hear from each other. We need to listen to one another. We need to pray, search the Scriptures, and discern together. And I'm going to go out on a limb here, although I don't think it's a long limb. I don't think you can do that well on social media. For all the stock that we put in public statements, we as the people of God should be going into the personal spaces and say, let's talk. Let's talk. We need one another. We need to listen to one another. We need to pray, search the Scriptures, and discern together. Remember, 1 John 4:1 tells us, test the spirits. Right? Test the spirits. We're not talking about whiskey. Test the spirits. See if a person is of Christ or not. If it doesn't trouble you or concern you when someone points something out that's inconsistent with Jesus about your life, that person doesn't care? Well, that says a lot. That says a lot. Scriptures. Does their life align with Jesus' teaching as a whole? If it doesn't, ask yourself, why am I following them? If it's a politician or influencer rather than, say, a religious leader in the church, ask yourself, why would I support someone whose moral compass is broken, lacks the most basic moral framework to be truthful, kind, and a person of integrity? You should ask yourself that question. What is it to gain a country or a culture of a country and lose the soul of the country? And folks, I admit, we're not being presented with very many good options these days. And that's why I'm convinced the only thing that can help us in this time is a spiritual awakening. I hope you believe that. Because until we start believing that, we're not going to do what Christ is calling us to do. We're not going to pray, certainly, the way we ought to pray. Self-examination is the last one. We must begin with self-reflection. Ask ourselves, am I being formed by Jesus? It's really easy. I'm preaching a message like this for you to, if you're not like literally looking around the room thinking about, I hope somebody's listening to this. Right? We all do it. And how we like miss the Spirit of God trying to speak to us because that's the space we're in instead of like, Lord, speak to me. How does this apply to me? Am I being formed by Jesus or by fear, anger, and pride? And folks, no matter your doctrine or your politics, you know we're all susceptible to this, right? I'm susceptible to this. I got to check myself before I wreck myself. I got to stick to my notes. No matter. Don't tell them what's going to come out of my mouth. So we got to look in the mirror, right? Because discernment begins within our own hearts. Back to Matthew 7, verse 21. And now we're getting to the real hard stuff. You thought that other stuff was hard. Listen to what Jesus says, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Lord, Lord, kurios, kurios. Now, notice, you can confess, this is what Jesus, I think, is saying, I am a Christian. You can say you recognize his authority. You can speak with apparent devotion, but if your life doesn't line up with God's will and the teachings of Jesus, then your confession, according to Jesus, is empty. Do you love the master or do you just love the benefits? Verse 22, Jesus goes on. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Drive out demons, perform miracles. Like we were really good religious people. We even helped people, Jesus. And see, you folks, you can be proud of your spiritual achievements, Jesus said. All of your outward works of religion. Maybe you've even been recognized by others for your service. But these are not ever substitutes for obedience. Hear me. You see, these false disciples, first it was true false prophets, now it's true or false disciples. And these false disciples focused on their gifts instead of character. Let me say it again. They focused on their gifts and their works of service instead of their character. Success instead of faithfulness and ministry instead of holiness. God's will isn't shaping their everyday lives. Adopting the heart of Jesus and becoming more like him in wisdom and character wasn't their concern. And so Jesus says, I don't know who you are. So very sobering. So very sobering. Verse 23, lastly. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Or one translation says, you lawbreakers, those who are lawless. And I never knew you. Knowing, you see, is covenant language from the Old Testament. It means relational intimacy, loyalty, mutual belonging to Jesus. And when Jesus says, I never knew you, he's saying, you were never living in right relationship with me, regardless of what you did to or for your neighbor. You know, the scriptures always hold those together. Love God and what? Love neighbor. Are you seeking after the heart of God? It can't just be lip service. So don't miss this. They worked for Jesus, but they didn't walk with Jesus. They worked with Jesus, but they didn't walk with Jesus. For if they had walked with Jesus, they would have let him transform their heart, let Jesus transform their attitude, and have a care and concern to be shaped into his image and his character. They would have accepted his lordship, but they didn't. We all want Jesus as Savior. Do we want him as Lord? This is the invitation. In short, church, you cannot separate, listen to me, you can't separate teaching from living. The words that come out of a person's mouth and their life. You can't separate message, beliefs, political positions, doctrinal stances from a person's character. False prophets, teachers, leaders, influencers, they may sound right. You may even agree with a lot of their ideas, but their fruit, be it pride, greed, manipulation, injustice, lack of love, you see, will eventually expose them for who they really are. And if we're not careful, we can allow our faith to be negatively influenced by these wolves in sheep's clothing. Again, this is why moral, spiritual, character formation is so important. Are we becoming like Christ, the true human, or not? Are we bearing fruit or not? Listen to what Jesus said in John 15. You did not choose me, I chose you. And I appointed you for what? So that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit of what? Fruit of his character. Fruit of who he is and what he's about. Fruit that will last, Jesus says. So you can ask whatever you want in my name and it'll be given to you. He said something like that in Sermon on the Mount, didn't he? When it's about wisdom of how to love God and how to love neighbor, ask whatever you want. When it's about bearing fruit and becoming more like Jesus, ask whatever you want. He'll give it to you. And then Paul says, Galatians 5:22-25, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Right? Because we've crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Now we say we live by the Spirit. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. Church, are you growing in love? Are you growing in joy and peace? Are you growing in patience and kindness? Are you growing in goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control? Are you living by the flesh? Or are you living by the Spirit? You know, I've had the honor of walking alongside and mentoring several young men over as many years. And let me tell you, I have recently experienced so much joy getting to see these young disciples bear the fruit of the Spirit and see the Lord transform their hearts, their minds, and their character. It's a handful of guys right now. All just seems to be happening all at once. Just really coming into their own, just really having some breakthroughs. Understanding God, who God is, their love for them, and what he's calling them to do. Seth, I'm going to call you out, brother. Seth DeLeunis is one of those. Calling you out in a good way. Seth, some years ago, came. He was 19 years old at the time. How old are you now? 26. His dad, is Matt here? Not here this morning. His dad brought Seth into my office. Seth was not in a good place. Seth had been experimenting with drugs. He'd been in trouble with the law. And we started walking together those many years ago. Meeting regularly, mostly once a month. Learning how God loves him, what God wants for his life. This past week, Seth was approved in the BIC U.S. World Missions Program to be a worker in the field. That's kind of scary, isn't it? Seth thinks he wants to go to Dearborn and work with Muslims. What the Lord can do when we get serious about spiritual and character formation. Thank you, Seth, for your faithfulness. I love you, brother. Let's sum up the message with some takeaways. Here's what we're saying. We can sum it up like this. Number one, not everyone who sounds spiritual is following Jesus. Don't evaluate a person's faith by words, platforms, or popularity. Evaluate it by character and obedience to Christ's command. Number two, character always reveals truth over time. Pay attention to how a person treats others and the long-term patterns they reveal in leaders, in churches, in yourself, whoever it is. Lastly, number three, discipleship is about right relationships, not performance. Are you prioritizing relationships? Don't just ask, what am I doing for God and how am I helping others? Also ask, am I walking with Jesus and becoming like him? Finally, here are some questions to help us reflect on what we've heard. Listen to the voice of the Lord, will you? What's God saying to you? What are you going to do about it? Number one, who has the greatest influence on my life, on my heart and mind? Right now. What kind of fruit is that influence producing in me? And I want you to be honest. Am I becoming more loving, humble, and faithful, or more anxious, angry, and judgmental? Yeah, I'll give you a second to think about that one. Number two. Have I been following or supporting any false prophets, leaders, or influencers who consistently reveal bad fruit and turn me away from Christ? Who comes to mind? What's the Lord saying? Lastly, number three. Is my faith more focused on doing good works and religious stuff or on discipleship, character formation, and obedience to Jesus? Brothers and sisters, the good works of Jesus, which in the Epistle of James, that book of wisdom, says works will follow true faith. But those works are meant to flow from a life that's being transformed into the likeness of Christ. So in your relationships this week, social media, wherever you're active, wherever you're present, and you bump up against that that stuff in you that you know that doesn't reflect Jesus, don't ignore that. That's the stuff to give attention to. Paul said, you know, I could be the smartest guy on the planet, most powerful guy in the room. I can have all wisdom and knowledge. I can have some really good-looking credentials. But if I don't have love, I am nothing. I'm just a noisemaker. May the Lord help us to be more than noisemakers. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we need your help for such a time as this to be your people. Lord, we want so badly to transcend the us versus them, the chaos and the noise. We want to see your face. We want to know your will and ways, and we want to walk in it, Lord, but we need your help. Help us to do that. Help us not to judge But at the same time, Lord, help us to discern the ones who aren't good for us, Lord, so that we can be about kingdom building, so that we can take you seriously, and God, so that we can walk that narrow road that leads to life. Oh, Lord, we love you. Give us your grace to help us receive what we've heard here. Give us your grace to help us to respond with obedience. We pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.